This morning, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 3. We're going to continue looking at the stories of Daniel and his friends. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's a story that many of you are familiar with. It's a great story of the Bible. It's a great story of faith. And last week, we looked at their willingness to stand out, their willingness to follow God, and to, in the midst of a culture and a society that wanted to change them and change their beliefs and change everything about them, they remained faithful to what God had told them to do and had called them to be. And this week we're going to see them having to continue to stand up for what they believe. And so in Daniel chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar decides that he's going to make a golden statue. It's going to be over 90 feet high. And he's going to tell all the people that when you hear all the instruments, when you hear all of these things playing, your job is to bow and to worship this statue. And this is what we see taking place in Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. Some Chaldeans took this occasion to come forward and maliciously accuse the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. You as king have issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music must fall down and worship the golden statue. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. There are some Jews you have appointed to manage the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men have ignored you, the king. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Then, in a furious rage, Nebuchadnezzar gave orders to bring in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar asked them, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true you don't serve my gods or worship the gold statue I have set up? Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I made. But if you don't worship it, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than was customary. So he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So these men in their trousers, robes, head coverings, and other clothes were tied and thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Since the king's command was so urgent and the furnace extremely hot, the raging flames killed those men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm, and he said to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men bound into the fire?" "Yes, of course, Your Majesty," they replied to the king. He exclaimed, "Look, I see 4 men, not tied, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and called, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, your servants of the Most High God, come out." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and when the satraps, prefects, and governors and the king's advisors gathered around, they saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men. Not a hair of their heads had been singed, their robes were unaffected, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar exclaimed, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel and rescued his servants who trusted in him. They violated the king's command and risked their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I issue a decree that anyone of any people, nation, or language who says anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be torn limb from limb and his house made a garbage dump. For there is no other God who is able to deliver like this. Then the king rewarded Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now remember, last week when they had done what God had wanted them to do, when they didn't eat the food that the king had wanted them to eat, and when he examined them years later, he put them in charge of a lot of things. He gave them power in the kingdom of Babylon because they were wise and they were strong. And now they're in this position of power, and the others say, hey, you know what? We can get them in a lot of trouble. And we can get them maybe out of power. One of the issues that we face in an unfaithful world is there will always be pressure to conform. In the first seven verses, I summarized that part. The crowd bows, and only three of them remain standing. We live in a culture that wants people to conform. They want us to live our lives the way that they live their lives. Everybody wants everybody to live the way that they live and to do the things that they do. Right? If everyone drove like me, the roads would be fine. Right? If you drive faster than me, you're a danger to everyone else. You're driving way too fast. And if you drive slower than me, it's get off the road, Grandpa, get out of the way. We want people to be like us. We want people to conform. And this world wants us to conform to the world. But Paul writes in the New Testament, do not conform to the patterns of this world. Here in Daniel, we see three men who refuse to conform to the patterns of Babylon. Babylon wants them to conform. They want them to bow down to these idols. And they refuse. Last week we talked about compromise. And when it comes to convictions and it comes to our faith, we can't make compromise, that these little compromises add up. And I'm willing to bet that there were a lot of Jews there who made little compromises like, I'll bow, but I won't worship. Right? I'll bow, but my heart won't be in it. I won't really mean it, but I'll bow so I don't get in trouble. And it starts with those little kinds of compromises. But these three were willing to stand tall. We have to be willing to identify the idols in our culture that we're pressured to serve. Materialism. Self-image, politics, morality. We're called to stand distinct. We're called to follow the Bible and to trust in God. And to stay firm in our convictions. As we continue on in this passage, in verses 16 through 18, we see the power of the conviction and the courage that these men have. In an unfaithful world, convictions take courage. These men are left with a tough challenge. Do we do what we're called to, or do we do what we should do according to Babylon? They're left with a tough choice, and they had to be courageous in the choice that they made. It's easy to follow what everyone else is doing. Here, the three of them say, if the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you the king. They are convinced that God has the power to save them. They are convinced that, God has everything he needs to save them from Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar even challenges them, what God could save you from me? He's basically saying, I'm more powerful than all of the gods I know. Who can save you from me? And they say, well, the God we serve can. And then they say this, but even if he does not rescue us, we want you as the king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you set up. In an unfaithful world where conviction takes courage, we need the faith that says, even if I don't get the healing that I'm looking for, even if we can't afford to keep the house, even if I don't get to survive this round of layoffs at my job, we need to have the kind of faith that says, even if the people around me begin to hate me because of my faith. Faith isn't just about trusting God for what he can do, but trusting in him for who he is. I love the song, Even If, by Mercy Me, and it's based off of this. And I'll read the chorus to you. Even if the healing doesn't come, and life falls apart, and dreams are still undone, you are God. You are good, forever faithful one. Even if the healing doesn't come. We talked a lot last week about God's sovereignty and how God is in control. And even in the hard times, even in the times that we're not really sure what we're doing, God is still in control. And so even if we don't get the outcome that we would like, even if we don't get the outcome we expect, do we trust God? Do we still put our faith in him? The answer should always be yes, but sometimes that feels a lot harder. But God is in control. And so we can remember that in an unfaithful world, God is still with us. In verses 24 through 27, they're thrown into the fire. Right? They're thrown into the fire, but God is still there with them. God doesn't prevent the fire from happening, but he was present in it. We often look at God's comfort in hard times, and we think that, why am I still experiencing hurt? Why am I still experiencing pain? Why am I still having to go through this? I thought God promised me comfort. But his comfort doesn't mean he takes those things away. His comfort means that he doesn't leave us alone in it. He walks with us through those things. And through those things, he reveals his presence to us. And when we come out the other end, it often makes our faith shine brighter. When these men were thrown into the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar sees four of them, and he says, one of them is like a son of the gods. And there are some people who say that this is a Christophany, meaning that this is a time where Jesus reveals himself in the Old Testament, that it was Jesus himself in the fire with them. There's a good chance that it was. Don't know for sure. It doesn't tell us specifically. But there's a chance that it was. And what we do know, though, is that he well would have been willing to be in that fire with them. We know that Christ has done much more than just take on a fiery furnace that couldn't hurt him. We know that he took on humanness, fully God and fully man, and gave up his very life for us. We know that he's willing to be in that fire with us. We know that he's willing to go through the hard times with us. And he's willing in an unfaithful world that is wanting to destroy those who follow him. We know that he is there with us through every step of the way. And if we look at Christ's example in the New Testament, we can see that even if kind of faith. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that Judas is going to betray him. And Luke tells us that he was in such agony that his sweat was like drops of blood. And he prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." He's saying, "Father, I know you can take this away, but if you don't, I will go through it. I will continue with what you've called me to." Even if the path leads through this suffering, Jesus fully knows that he's going to be beaten and hung on a cross. Even if the path goes through that, he trusts God and walks through it because he knows what it means for us. And Jesus walked to the fire of the cross, not because the Father removed the trial, but because he trusted the Father through it. And because he did, you and I can stand in our own fiery furnaces knowing that he is with us. Daniel's friends stood before the furnace and declared, "Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we will not bow." Well, Jesus knelt in that garden and he prayed, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." Both moments point us to the heart of true faith. Not faith that depends on outcomes, but faith that depends on God. And that's the faith that we're called to. Faith that says, even if the culture pressures me to bow, I will stand. Even if my prayers aren't answered the way I hoped, I will trust in God's plan. And even if following Jesus costs me everything, I will obey. And the good news is the same God that walked with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire, the same Father who strengthened Jesus in the garden, is with us today. You don't stand alone. The Lord himself is with you. When the heat rises, when the pressure mounts, when the outcome is uncertain, will you bow or will you trust the God who is faithful even if? I'm going to pray and then I'm going to ask Mylene to play that video. And it's the song, Even If. And I'd like to just take a few moments this morning and reflect on those even if kind of moments. Father, we thank you that you are there with us, even in those even if moments. Those moments that they don't go the way that we want them to or expect them to, but God, we trust you. And I pray that our faith would shine no matter the situations we find ourselves in. In Jesus' name.